Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me songs of deliverance. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I was your foe, still your love fought for me.
Hallelujah.
You have been so, so good to me.
Yes.
What I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind. Me. When I was your foe, still your love, you fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah!
Hallelujah. There's no shadow he won't light up, mountain he won't climb up, coming after me.
Yes.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow he won't light up, mountain he won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Oh yeah!
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear up, coming after me.
Sing it again. No shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
I was your foe, still your love fought for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have been so, so kind, good to me, Jesus. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so kind to me. Coming after me.
Do you stand and sing that? Come on.
There's no wall you won't kick down.
There's no wall you won't kick down. No lie that you won't tear down. He's coming after you. He loves you.
No shadow you won't light up.
Hallelujah.
Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me.
No shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Sing it again.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
No shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh, it chases me. Till I found leaves at 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
Would you lift up your praise to the Lord for his overwhelming love? Never-ending, reckless love in pursuing you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your praise to him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you just let the Lord love on you right where you are this morning? Jesus, come on, say, Lord, I need your love. I need to feel your love today. I need to feel your presence today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on us. Thank you for pursuing us. Just sing that chorus quietly.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Thank you, Lord. Would you turn in the scripture with me to the book of 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Are you thankful for his presence this morning? I'm telling you, there's no place I would rather be than in the presence of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse number 7. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, I encourage you to do that out of reverence for his word. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come to your word humbly, hungry. We come desperate. We need you. We need your grace and your power at work in our lives. We need you to help us set the devil to flight, to move back the powers of the enemy. We need you to set us free. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this congregation this morning, in every heart and life. I pray against every hindrance and every distraction. I pray that you would remove those in the name of Jesus even now, and that there would be great liberty of your spirit and your power in this house. Be glorified, be magnified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I love what Winston Churchill once said. He said, God gave the bulldog a bent nose so that it could still breathe while it hangs on. The same should be said of us, that we hang on no matter what. What are we hanging on to? Well, this list is not exhaustive, but here's a few things that I believe are important that we hang on to. First of all, we need to hang on to hope in Jesus. We need to hang on to the truth. We need to hang on to the cross, where He demonstrated that overwhelming, reckless love of God to us. We must hang on to the fact that 3 days later He rose again from the dead, and that He's alive. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, He who raised Christ will also quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit who lives in us. We must hang on to holiness. We must hang on to righteousness and godliness and purity. We must hang on to faith. Faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How many of you know that God has called us to overcome the world? He's called us to be born again. Anybody here know that you're born of God? The Bible says in John chapter 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You and I must be born again. We must have a salvation experience. We must have Jesus residing on the inside of us. If you don't, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. I don't care how long you've been in the church, and if your name's on the membership roll or not, if you don't have Jesus living inside of you, and you don't know that your sins have been forgiven and washed in the precious blood and sanctified by His Word and by His Spirit, I'm telling you, you're not ready for heaven. But if you know who Jesus is, you can lay down at night with a peace that the world doesn't understand and never will. I'm telling you, you can know that everything's all right between you and your Creator, and you're ready to meet Him when the trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. See, we got some things we need to hold on to. We need to contend for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. We need overcoming and steadfast faith in the days in which we live, because there are so many challenges around us. I'm telling you, the enemy is unleashing every attack he can against the body of Christ, and deception abounds. But you and I have got to keep our face buried in this holy book every single day. We've got to keep our knees down before God and saying, Lord, today I need to die. I need to die to myself. I need to die to sin. I need to die to this world and to the flesh and to the devil. I need to be alive in you today. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure is he talking about? The treasure is Jesus himself. We have the treasure that he is the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We have the treasure of his sacrifice, the treasure of our salvation, the treasure that God's love will lift us up out of sin. God's love will lift us up out of shame. God's love will lift us out of misery and give us hope. It is a treasure that says, when nothing else could help, when nothing else could do something in my life, nothing else could make me feel better, love lifted me. Hallelujah. That's the kind of treasure we're talking about today. You see, the scripture says we are troubled, but Christ helps us in our distress. Jesus just went ahead and spelled it out for the disciples up front. He told them up front, in this world, in John 16 and 33, he said, in this world you will have tribulation. He said, you're going to have tribulation. He was talking to his disciples. There's going to be some difficult times. There's going to be some hard days. There's going to be some challenging seasons of life. But I want you to know, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Just keep your hand in my hand. Just keep your eyes upon me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't you give in to the enemy. Don't you give in to your flesh. Don't you give in to the lies of Satan. You keep your eyes on me. You set your face like a flint, and you keep on going after me. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but keep your eyes upon me, because they that endure to the end shall be saved. You see, there's an initial salvation. But how many of you know that there's coming an ultimate salvation? They that endure to the end shall receive that ultimate salvation. Hallelujah. He said, we're hard pressed. Like grapes being squeezed into grape juice. We are oppressed. We're hedged in. We feel pressure. How many know that people today seem more stressed out than any other time that I've ever known? Can you testify to that? Their life is squeezing them. It's bringing pressure to them in so many ways. I believe it's because we're getting so close to the coming of the Lord. And the battle is intensifying, and the enemy's unleashing his attacks like never before, because he knows his time is short. My friend, you better get your heart right with God. This is no time to be playing around with religion and with all these other kinds of things, and with the world and the flesh and the devil. Now's the time to commit your heart to Jesus fully and completely. We're hard pressed. We might find ourselves in troubling and in uncertain times, but we are never beyond the assistance that God provides. I'm telling you, the grace of God is greater than our sin. Aren't you thankful for that today? I said the grace of God is greater than your situation. It's greater than your pain. It's greater than your trouble. The grace of God is greater. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Hallelujah. He said that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. How many of you know it's not our power? It's the power of God that works in us. Ephesians 3 and 20, I quoted it earlier, but I got to say it again right now. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to his power that works in us. As long as his power is working in you, you can overcome the flesh, you can overcome the world, and you can overcome the devil, and you're going to get to the end of this thing. And you're going to get to go live with God. Hallelujah. We may be perplexed, but Christ's power keeps us from despair. What does it mean to be perplexed? To be at a loss. To doubt. Not knowing or questioning. It's wondering which way to go, what to do, what to say. Have you ever been perplexed? Some of you are saying, I was perplexed this morning. We're often perplexed. But the good news is, he says, even though you're perplexed and you're at a loss and you don't know what to do and where to go and what to say and you feel directionless at times, he said, even though you feel perplexed, you're not in despair. Which means to be hopeless or to have no confidence. He says, even though sometimes we're perplexed, we are not without hope. and we still got confidence in God. We can say along with David in those times, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? We can say along with David again in Psalm 42, he said, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? How many of you know that sometimes our soul is depressed and we feel down and we feel troubled, and sometimes you just got to speak to your own soul. Soul, the same God who brought you out before is the same God who's going to bring you out this time. The same, oh, I feel his presence. Soul, he said, put your hope in God. Put your hope in him. Put your hope in his word. Put your hope in what he's done in the past, knowing that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance and my God. I'm telling you today, doesn't matter what you're going through, there's a God who cares. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who will come through for you. We have to remember it's because of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. He said, they're new every morning. Isn't it comforting to know that every morning you wake up, no matter what kind of day you had yesterday, no matter what kind of night you had last night, the mercy of God is renewed. It's that overwhelming, reckless love of God again. There it is. He just keeps pursuing you. He just keeps coming after you. He just keeps saying, you know what? You are my child. You are my treasured possession. You are mine. I made you. I crafted you. I fashioned you in your mother's womb. You're my child. He said, we may be persecuted, but not forsaken. You know, persecution comes in many different forms, doesn't it? We certainly don't know persecution here in America like our brothers and sisters do in other countries, where they're not able to have church like you and I are today. They're not able to assemble here in this beautiful sanctuary and worship the Lord without persecution. Oh, I know there's been little pockets of it here and there, but by and large, we don't know what that means. There are people today that are having to worship underground. They're having to worship God in secret for the fear of the government, fear of their lives. I'm telling you, we are a blessed people. But persecution can come in the form of slander, somebody bearing false witness against you, undue criticism, isolation, people withholding forgiveness. How many know that when somebody withholds forgiveness for you or from you, that is a form of persecution? You feel abandoned, you feel persecuted. There's all kinds of forms of persecution. He said, but even though we are persecuted, we are never forsaken. And in the midst of persecution, remember Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, which says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Listen, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, anybody here ever shed your blood because of your faith? Anybody here had to shed your blood because of your stance for righteousness and holiness? And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, consider him who endured this thing for us. Consider him who went through the, who endured hostility from sinners. If he could get through that, my friend, you can get through what you're facing today. But you got to keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ. He said in Isaiah 43 and 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame scorch you. If you have lived long enough, you know that life is not always fair. Difficult things happen to godly people, just like they happen to ungodly people. And life does not always make sense. Sometimes Christians have financial problems. They get sick. They fight personal battles in their lives, personal battles in individually and in their marriage and in with their kids and in their minds, in their flesh, and their all kinds of different ways they fight battles. But Paul says in this text, I've been troubled on every side. I've been perplexed. I've been persecuted. But he also said, I've not been in despair. I've not been forsaken, and I've not been destroyed. He said, I'm still breathing. I'm still kicking. I'm still here, and the devil ain't won. It ain't over yet. There's been times it looked like it was over and I was going to go on out into eternity, but thank God he stepped in just a nick of time. It ain't over yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah 54 and 17, this is a word for us today. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. You receive that. No weapon. The insinuation there, the implication is that he didn't say that the enemy wasn't going to form his weapons. He's going to do that. He's going to form every weapon that he can against you and me. But what he is saying is that whatever he forms against you, whatever he launches against you, whatever tax assail you, they will not amount, they will not accomplish their intended purpose. And what is the devil's intended purpose? The Bible says he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to tell somebody today, the devil tried to destroy you. He tried to kill you, but you're still breathing, but you still got a hope. You still got a life. You just need to lift up your voice to Jesus and cry out to him, because what the devil intended for harm, God can turn it around. I said God can turn it around for your good and for his glory and set you up as a trophy of his grace and his power. The devil tried to destroy you, but I'm telling you, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus praise. It ain't over yet. The devil thought he had you, but it ain't over yet. He thought he had won, but it ain't over yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you lift those hands and praise him for a moment? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm talking to somebody today who's been knocked down, and life has thrown you an unexpected curve, an unexpected doctor's report, the fear of the results of the doctor's report. Or maybe it's sickness, or maybe it's a financial situation, or maybe it's your unsaved children, or marital problems, or maybe your child is away from God, or maybe they're on drugs, or maybe your job is in jeopardy, or you don't like your job. This list is not exhaustive. I just tried to hit on a few of them, but can I tell you, it may be different things, but the bottom line is you didn't expect it, and it hurt, and it threw you into a tailspin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? None of us are immune from the problems of life. And the devil, what he wants to do is try to make you think that you're the only one. You're the only one who's having problems. You're the only one that wrestles with sin. You're the only one that's that's had some skeletons in the closet, and you're the only one. And if so-and-so finds out this, or they find out, you could, oh, your life would just be over. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. And Paul, in this situation, in Acts chapter 14, I want you to look at it with me. Acts 14 and 19, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitudes. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But I've got a word for you today. Regardless of how bad it looks, it ain't over yet. Won't you turn to your neighbor and tell him right now, it ain't over yet. They drug him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Supposing they had finally put an end to this babbler, as some people called him, who was wreaking havoc and telling everybody about Jesus and winning people to the Lord and planting churches everywhere. We finally put an end to this life, but it wasn't over yet. Because the Bible says in verse 20, when the disciples gathered around him. Anybody know that we still need the body of Christ? We still need one another. We still need somebody to gather around us and pray for us and lift us up and pray us through. When the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And if you read on in that chapter, the Bible says he went right back into Lystra where they had stoned him. I believe he went right back in to say, devil, you thought you had me. Devil, you thought you were going to shut me up. Devil, you thought that you were going to keep me from spreading the gospel, but here I am. It wasn't my time yet. God's not through with me until my last breath. The devil thought he had me, but it ain't over yet. God still got a plan. He's still working in me until the day God takes me home. And I'm here to tell you, he's got a plan for your life. It ain't over yet. I felt the Holy Spirit say the devil is a liar. He's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But God says you need to remember the truth of my word. He said, I have come that you might have life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, more abundantly. Why don't you thank him for the abundant life? Why don't you thank him for the overcoming life? Why don't you thank him for life with joy and peace and prosperity? Hallelujah. A life in Jesus. Perhaps that blow in your life knocked you off your feet. But maybe this is one of the biggest mistakes the devil makes, is because when the Christian is knocked off his or her feet, where do they end up landing? Go ahead, devil. Knock me down to my knees. But how many of you know when you get down on your knees, hell begins to tremble? Sometimes we need to be knocked down. Sometimes we need to be brought down. Maybe it's because of our pride, or maybe it's because of circumstances in our lives, or maybe it's because of bad decisions that we have made. But I'm here to tell you today, the devil thought he had you, but when you get down on your knees, there is something that takes place in the spirit realm when we humbly cry out to God, here I am, God, I need you. I need you to move in my life, to move in my heart, to save me completely. Came to tell somebody here this morning, you may have lost the round, but you haven't lost the fight. How many of you like boxing? I kind of like boxing myself. I don't know why I like it so much, seeing two people in there beating one another up, but I like it. I should be a boxer. Thank you, Brother Richard. And Jason, and just in case it slipped your mind, you need to understand that this fight is already fixed. How many of you know that you're the winner? But you only win if you get in the ring. You can't stand outside of the ropes. I wish I could win. I wish I could be victorious. I wish I could be an overcomer. Why don't you get in prayer? Why don't you get in the Word? Why don't you stay in church on a regular basis? Why don't you pray every single day? Why don't you get on your knees and cry out to God? Why don't you get in the ring and be an overcomer? Get in the ring and fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. You got to seize this thing. You got to grab hold of it. Heaven's not automatic. You're not just going to get there because your name's on the membership roll. You got to live for Jesus all the way to the end. We cannot say we will never be knocked down. We cannot say we'll never be caught off guard. We cannot say we'll never be troubled or perplexed. But we can say, listen to me today, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. We can say nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can say a along with Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of my faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, your faith is in a trial. Your faith is being tested. But I'm telling you, if you'll hang on and push through it, there is reward waiting on you at the end. Perhaps we need to be reminded of the perseverance and the determination of the three Hebrew boys. I'm not going to say everybody knows the story because everybody may not know the story. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 3 that Nebuchadnezzar had set up an image of gold. He commanded everybody to bow down and worship his image. But how many of you know there's still some people today in this generation who are not going to bow down to the gods of this world, who are going to take a stand for righteousness? And they said, I'm sorry, King. I'm sorry. We can't bow down to your image. We were raised better than that. We're going to serve the God of the Hebrews. We're going to serve Jehovah God. Only him will we serve. And it made the king so mad, he was furious and told his servants, he said, I want you to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal. And the king commanded his servants to throw these 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the fiery furnace. The end. Not quite. It wasn't over yet. The wicked king looked into the furnace. He looked at his servants and said, did we not throw 3 men in there? Am I losing my mind, boys? I know good and well, to use an old country phrase, I know good and well. We threw 3 men, but I see 4 men. And the 4th looks like the Son of God. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, Jesus is still walking with you. He's still with you in the midst of the fire. It doesn't matter what kind of fiery trial you're in today. There is a God who's walking with you right in the middle of that fire. And the Bible says those boys came out. Not a hair was singed on their head. They didn't even smell like smoke. The glory of God was right there in the midst of that furnace and that fiery situation. God is still there with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll go with you all the way to the end. Can I give you just one more? I'm bringing this to a close. You know the situation of Daniel. Because of his commitment to God, they threw him into the hungry den of lions. In Daniel 6 and 17, and the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And the Bible says that the king was distraught because he loved Daniel. They had tricked him into this decree. Can you imagine what kind of sleepless night that king was having? Because he loved Daniel. He believed in Daniel. But the Bible says in verse 19, the king arose early in the morning. I don't think he slept very much that night. And went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king. Boy, you know that brought some great relief to him. He's alive. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And oh, by the way, king, I'm also innocent before you. Hallelujah. You may have been thrown into the den of lions. They may have rolled the stone over the door and said, it's over this time for sure. But I'm here to tell you, it ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Jesus was dying on that cross, don't you know that the devil and all of his evil spirits said, oh yeah, we've got him now. There was a great rejoicing in the kingdom of hell. There was a great rejoicing going on in the kingdom of darkness. But I'm here to tell you, as soon as Jesus breathed his last, and the Bible says that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, which gives us free access into the presence of God, those demons begin to tremble again. Oh no, I thought we had him. But no, what's going on here? And 3 days later, I'm telling you, 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and Jesus came up out of that grave and he's alive forevermore. It ain't over till God says it's over. I don't care what's going on in your life. My God is able. My God is able to bring you up and to bring you out. Would you stand with me this morning and praise him? Praise him all over this house. Praise him and glorify him. It ain't over. No, God says it's over. Whew. Whew. Some of you have been feeling down and out lately. God said, I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to redeem you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to revive you. It doesn't matter what your need is in your life. This is just a general altar call this morning. Whatever the need is, why don't you come and let God touch you? Why don't you let his anointing minister to you? His power, his presence breathe upon you. This altar is open right now. Come. Come and let God touch you. Let God move in your life. He is able. He is able. It ain't over till God says it's over. He is able. to do above and beyond. You can